Hello, everyone. Hi. Hey. How's it going? How's GamerX going so far? Woo! Yeah. All right. So anyway, welcome to our panel. This is the Podcast X Zone. A very crowded panel with some very talented folks here. We're going to start off with a quick introduction here. Let everyone say who they are. We got a bunch of shows here. So, hey. I should introduce myself too, right? Hey, I'm Fox Van Allen. Hi. I'm like the super special secret. What was that? How did you write it in there? Super secret special guest moderator.
You're a guest moderator.
Yeah, they wrote that because they didn't know if I'd do it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Fox Van Allen. I'm from WoW Insider, part of the Joystick Network, Techlicious, a bunch of other blogs. I'm a freelance tech journalist. Let's start introducing. You want to go first?
Sure.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Philip Garcia. I'm part of the Koopa Club.
I'm Jeremy Johnson, also part of Koopa Club.
I am James Anger. I broadcast on GameBuoy.org with the GameBuoy Video Game Podcast as Captain Spike.
My name's John. I am part of the GameBuoy Video Game Podcast as Sidekick.
And I'm Jason Toops, and I'm from the Game Bar Podcast on Gamism.com. Thank you.
I'm Rob Roberts with the Voice of Geeks Network with Orange Lounge Radio and Horde House.
So we have a bunch of different podcasts here. I want to maybe each of you talk a little bit about your podcast, just so we know what your podcast is all about and what makes it different from all the other podcasts up here, right?
Fine, I'll field this one. So Koopa Club is basically an LGBT Nintendo video game ish podcast. So it's not anything super unique aside from the fact that we are all gay men. So that's it. That's the quick explanation.
Do you have anything sassy to say?
Always.
No, we try to stick to Nintendo and general Nintendo-ness, but we go off into other topics, as you might know if you've listened. And lately we've been branching out into other stupid stuff, but YouTube.
That's true.
It's a catch-all for, you know, nerdy gaming. Yeah. That's it.
We're done. Bye.
Next.
Brilliant. We represent the GameBuoy.org video game podcast. I'm probably going to say that like 15 more times before you all get out of here, so be ready for it. Our whole tagline is that we are news and views that, you know, maybe aren't on your radar, but, you know, probably should be. We try to focus on sort of more niche topics and sort of, you know, also give sort of differing perspectives from what we see on all of the blogs that are really popular, sort of an alternative to IGN or Kotaku or what have you. Is there anything you'd like to say in particular?
Not really. Just, you know, we try to focus on genres and issues that maybe aren't generally covered on larger gaming podcasts, and just try to cover different issues and get a voice to that.
Game Bar started in Atlanta when I met my friend Jeremiah Bratton, who is the co-host of the show. We met at the Atlanta Eagle, so that really kind of colored the entire relationship. So, and we kind of brought that into the show. So we wanted to have sort of more adult conversations about like what we're really interested in games, and like off-color topics and such like that. But it's really about, we wanted to reach out to the community and interview people and find out. It's not necessarily all about what we're playing, but it's about what you're playing and your interests and, you know, how, you know, GLBTQ gamers play differently from straight gamers and, like, what they talk about. So, so we're sort of community-driven. But then also we have one other podcaster with us, Todd Harper. So he's from Massachusetts. And he came in this past summer. So, yeah, that's Game Bar.
I have two to pimp, so I'm going to be real quick. So the first show I do is Orange Lounge Radio, and we believe, the internet's a big place, but we believe it's the longest running weekly program about video games, 11 years old this past June. So, oh, shucks. So it was all about community. Myself, Dark Sakura, and Loki, who couldn't be here today, sorry, but we all met playing Dance Dance Revolution at the local arcade, and what an amazing community that was back in its heyday, and it was really all about community. And for a couple years, we really focused on DDR and music games, but you know, there was kind of a little bit of a lull in the years before Guitar Hero and after DDR, where we really branched out into just gaming, because it's like, we're video game fans first, but we just love these quirky Japanese music games second. So we're really about community, and it's the show where every gamer has a voice, and we do it live. I love live radio. I live for this stuff, and trying to get folks to come in via Skype, via chat, and participate. The other show I do is Horde House. I want to quickly point out my co-hosts down here. Extifer and Grandpa from Horde House are here, which is kind of like if we tried to put them on the stage, they would fall off. So, but they're here. And Horde House was kind of a spinoff, and that was like our World of Warcraft show because, you know, I'm pretty hardcore nerd. And World of Warcraft, you know, is also a community. But we wanted to be a show about all things World of Warcraft, but not too seriously. And with all of us being on the show, it's kind of like sitting around just hearing guys talk smack about each other, like in a funny way. It's a very body, sassy, explicit tag show, and we just have fun with it. You know, we're like seriously casual, but not too serious. But we've also branched out to cover all online games such as like Final Fantasy 14, League of Legends, and all the other stuff that the cool kids are playing.
Well, I don't have a podcast of my own, but I'm a frequent guest on them. I've been on the WoW Insider podcast, and I've been on absolutely none of your podcasts because none of you have asked me to be on your podcast yet. Sorry. But part of the goal of this panel here is to kind of encourage all of you to get out there and start podcasting yourselves and get out there and start doing things. So I want to ask you guys, what got you into podcasting? Why do you podcast? What is this podcasting thing all about, man?
Well, for myself, I've been, you know, someone who's like a fan of podcasting in general. I listen to, God, I don't know how many now, but tons of shows. And actually, I was listening to Rob's show, Horde House, for quite a long time, and was kind of inspired to do the same thing. And then when I met Jeremy initially, he kind of proposed the idea of Koopa Club, and it's been a really great forum just to, you know, share my thoughts and kind of have moments with similar gamers who aren't total douchebags or like assholes. I kind of forget like there's that other world out there because of like. You know, the conversations we have on our show are so fun and like sensitive to, you know, to LGBT issues. I'll occasionally listen to like, you know, a straight podcast. I'm always like in horror listening because it's so scary. But it's just fun to create like a space, you know, to share our ideas and thoughts about these games and the community. You know, we've, you know, met so many people through this, and like even like events like this has been really awesome. And then just, you know, the camaraderie with the other shows, and we have like, you know, really cool little community here. So it's been, I mean, it's not just singular about like just talking about, you know, video games. It's, you know, it kind of branches out into so many different things for me.
I copy and paste that response. Like, you pretty much said everything I was going to say.
I was reading your notes.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you have down here?
I guess really the only other thing I have to add to that is that, yeah, we started podcasting not out of some burning desire to get, like, LGBT voices out there to start with. We just wanted to talk about games and record it, and we thought it would be fun. The longer that it's gone on, though, the more important that's becoming to us, and kind of especially getting to know all of you guys and just realizing that we're not the only show that's doing it, because when we started, we didn't know that there were other LGBT video game podcasts at all. And there's actually a shockingly high amount of them. So that's been very interesting. So that's kind of why I keep doing it. So that's my answer.
Yeah, and it's been fun. And we've kind of, like, we started to tackle, like, you know, get really specific with our issues and the conversations we want to have, and kind of question some of the, you know, these ideas we have about, like, you know, the issue of the term gamer and all other topics like that. And it's been a real cool forum for that.
I don't have an answer nearly half as good as that. It's kind of awkward. I literally started a show because I was really tired of all of these shows that are only about what they hate about video games, and I just want to talk about why I still love Kingdom Hearts, why I loved Mass Effect 3, And people who have a problem with that, that's fine. Just don't listen or whatever. But I just got tired of the constant negativity.
Preach. Especially yes. in light of what's going on, like, right now out there in the world.
Right.
with that whole situation.
I'm just going to leave that there. I'm not focused on here.
Why don't you make this sound better for me?
One of the reasons that Captain Spike and I paired up together is that we've been friends for a long time. We've been talking about video games, and, you know, we just kind of thought, hey, maybe people would want to hear us talking for 1 to 3 hours. And, you know, it's really just kind of grown into something that, you know, we really put a lot of work into. And it's a way for us to, like, you know, take what we were already doing for years and kind of, like, you know, try and reach out to a community and interact with more people and get people involved.
Well, Game Bar started, and because I was living in Atlanta, and I met Jeremiah, and there were so few, like, GLBTQ people that I met that had very similar interesting games. Because we like weird, quirky games, games that are experimental, may not be entirely successful across the board, not AAA titles, but, you know, we like games that are incredibly unique and try to take a chance. So I hadn't really met many people like that before, so we just started talking. And, you know, we would be on the phone for hours just, like, talking about, like, oh my god, I love this game, oh my god, I love this game. And then eventually it got to the point where one of us, I don't even know, it just grew organically. It's like, well, why don't we start a podcast? You know, we were both listening to a lot of podcasts. We listened to, like, the Giant Bomb podcast and, you know, like, Adam Sessler and, like, all of that. And so, yeah, we just started, and that was kind of, like, the format for our show. And I love, like, Sailor Venus walks in. Hi. Yeah. But no, it's been great because, I mean, we tackle games realizing that it's not just the end product. There's a process in creating games. Games are an artistic expression. They come from a place, you know, and effort goes into it. And, you know, it's acknowledging all of these little pieces that make up the game and really sort of seeing something unique in that. Like, you know, we did a two-hour show on, what was it, the Duke Nukem Forever. Because we wanted to tell the story of the development of the game. And we thought it was just going to be like, we'll do 45 minutes tops. We did a 2.5 hour show.
Because no, it happens.
Right? Yeah. And that's kind of our take on things, is that, like, it's really nice to dissect games and really find out, like, the bits and pieces behind.
My story with OLR was a little different because I was doing radio in college. I was doing college radio, as a lot of, like, aspiring people tend to do. And I went right from that. We were doing internet radio on Real Audio at the... Whoa. Oh, shit, I just gave away my age. But we were doing that through the college radio, and I graduated right from that into a program that my buddy Travis was doing called Understudation Live, and he's still going today, to this day, bless his heart. But he asked me to be a co-host on that, and it was like a sci-fi, geekery kind of show, and it was just a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing that show, made, like, crank calls to the Bunny Ranch and all this, like, crazy stuff. We had a great time. It was, like, shock jock, but, like, nerdy. And I had so much fun doing that when we kind of just saw this opportunity, Darksoccer and I had the idea on BART, like, back when they weren't striking, we had this idea on BART one day, like, let's do this for the DDR community, because this is, like, huge right now, and let's just have fun and take an extension of when we go out to dinner after we play DDR. Let's just, like, take that to the internet. And for the longest time, our show only had, like, 12 listeners for, like, the first 4 years, but they were our 12 listeners. And damn it, that was our community, and we were going to do it for them. And that's really what kept us doing it week after week. As far as Horde House goes, I was living with Extrovert at the time, and living with Extrovert is hilarious. And... you know, but, like, he's like, what are you talking about? But, like, it was like one of those things, like, God, if we could just record our conversations and put them out there on the internet for people to hear, like, people would really, like, think this is funny. And I'm like, well, I can do that, actually. Like, I've had this practice for, like, 8 years, so let's just do that. And so that was where Horde House came from. We got a great little community there too, and I love it.
Okay, so personal note about myself, I'm from Los Angeles, and I drove in today, just 5-hour drive, and I listened to Not every podcast all the way through, because it was only a 5-hour drive. However, I did get a shot. I believe you were talking about Zelda, right? The
Our most recent.
For the Game Boy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're talking about rhythm games, and I just wanted to, because these aren't normally these games often don't have like a gay component, right? Like unless Link's gay.
Well, Link, fairies, you know.
Well,
Tingle.
Womp. You leave Tingle out of this.
Oh boy! Well, I wasn't trying to go the Tingle route, but here we are. But no, I'm curious. How do you guys work in LGBTQ issues and into your show? How do you deal with gamer-ing? I couldn't come up with a better word. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm putting me on the spot. Okay. Unfortunately, there haven't been too many instances where on our podcast that we've tried to specifically discuss that. There have been a few episodes where we've talked about, as ridiculous as it sounds, gay characters in Nintendo games, which, you know, LOL, they have no sexuality at all. And we talked about the term gamer and what that means and all of that. But I don't know. I think our show is just more... It's kind of hard for me to describe. We just try to have a natural conversation about video games, whether or not that brings in the LGBT element, that's fine. We just try to bring that in ourselves with our personalities. I think that's how we tackle it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, games don't have gay content really in them, especially Nintendo games. So we kind of like to propose kind of questions like, what if, you know, the princess was lesbian? I was going to say something else. So it's usually, we're just proposing questions and new ideas, and usually there's a ridiculous response or some stupid conclusion we come to, but it's fun to talk about that, and just, you know, you're just proposing these ideas just so you think from a different perspective and maybe arrive at new conclusions, and half of them are like, why are we talking about this, because there's never going to be gay Nintendo characters, but it's just fun to, like, you know, try to, like, feel included in Nintendo's world as a gay individual, but, so it's usually just, an exercise in these topics.
There may not be any gay characters that I can think of, but what about Birdo? Right?
Yeah! That's a great answer.
We have talked about Birdo quite a
often.
Bit.
Often.
Yeah. But mostly about her face, but...
It's flawless.
Not her role in society.
That sweet egg hole.
Yes.
Hey.
Sorry?
So I don't really know how to follow that up, whatever that was, but I'm going to try. I have a really quick anecdote about sort of podcasting that I really think is really important to sort of get onto the theme of what we wanted to talk about here today. And that is, when Slightkick and I were sort of structuring what we wanted our show to be like, you know, I initially actually wanted to avoid talking about LGBT issues in gaming. I had this really sort of misfocused idea that people wouldn't want to listen to, you know, two super gay guys talking about niche JRPGs.
Oh God, that's what we do.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that because I wish I had known. It felt like we came out of the closet, you know, after a few episodes of sort of hiding it and going out of our way to not say, "Oh, Caden's so hot, he could get it."
But
you know,
he could get it.
Well, yeah. So you know, we sort of
he got it in my game.
You know, we were sort of looking at it like, what's not clicking here? And I realized it felt like I was lying to my audience. So we did a big blowout. We went like 3 hours about just gay characters in games. There's a huge listing, times where maybe the canonicity is somewhat questionable due to language translation issues. And I just thought it was really interesting to look at, you know, there's a lot of gay gamers out there. We all have a voice that we want to share, and we all feel not represented in these games, but I kind of feel like we are. It's just not talked about by mainstream media, and I think that's a problem. And so we try to talk about these things now as much as possible. And so that's how we work in LGBT issues in our show.
Yeah, and I think, like some of the other gentlemen up here have said, as queer gamers, we interact with the medium of gaming in a different way than, you know, straight people do, or, you know, other communities might. So, I mean, just because, you know, we're all gay men podcasting doesn't mean that, you know, you have to talk about gay issues all the time, but I think it definitely informs how we interact with games and, you know, our perspective. And, you know, and then when these issues come up, like, I mean, it's been really, you know, prevalent this past year, thanks to GamerX and everything. So, just really kind of to have our voice out there and our perspective and try to get other people to realize that as queer gamers or queer allies who are gamers, that you have valuable things to say, and your perspectives, if they don't match what's, you know, the big, larger gaming community, it's kind of like a smaller faction of like what's happening in gaming right now and the gamer community. So yeah.
Well, I mean, we approached this because we wanted to wave our pride flag really high. We felt that, you know, this was a really heterocentric industry, and like the media coverage was really heterocentric, and we were the answer to that. At least that's how we felt. So because we like to expose like sexism in games. I mean, some of the things that come out are just disgusting. Like the Dead Island Riptide Special Edition. We gay gasp, right? Like we, I'm like that person. That PR person should be fired. You know, I mean, and yeah. So like, whenever we see anything like that in games, we feel like it's our responsibility to speak out against it because this is keeping us back. You know, it's holding us back as like not even just fans, but industry wide. So, so yeah, that's kind of how we tackle LGBTQ issues. I mean, also, so we went to PAX last year and we saw a panel on like trans issues. There was like three panels about like trans gamers, and then it opened our eyes and we reached out to as much of the trans community as we could find. So just to come on the show and talk about their experiences as gamers working in the industry and their concerns. And I think it's really important to just embrace like the whole spectrum. And it's not just, you know, gamer being gay men, but being like the entire rainbow.
I'll talk about OLR a little bit because it's a little different than these guys, because on that show, I'm the token gay guy on a panel of three people. So it's not that we necessarily approach things that are necessarily gay-centric. We talk about what is going on in the community, and as we know sometimes, like, you know, like you just referenced there are some things that will come up that do affect our community, and I'm in a unique position where I can use my voice to say, okay, just in case you were unaware, this is why this is a bad thing, and this is why it pisses me off. And I never, you know, for the longest time, I never really gave that a lot of thought. I put my opinion out there, and people can kind of, you know, take it or leave it. That's what it is. But it really kind of hit home for me, and this is a very recent example. Just on the last show we taped last Sunday, we got an email on the show from a listener who basically addressed the thing to me, and it really didn't have a lot to do with video games. You know, it was the nice compliment for all three of the hosts, but then it was like, Rob, I got a question for you, being a gay guy who plays video games. And should I come out to my parents? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Here go hell come. So, I mean, you know, so I took the 10 minutes because that's the show that I've been fortunate enough to build where it's like, you know, the community is there to listen to that, even though it might not necessarily affect them. And I gave the guy the advice that I had for him. And if you want to know, you'll have to listen. but I gave the guy the advice I had for him. And I said at the end of it, now I realize there might be a lot of you out there that don't get this frame of reference. Like you might be like a straight guy sitting there wondering why I just spent 10 minutes on that. And I'm like, because it's really important. And when we talk about a lot of these other issues that go on in games and, you know, well, how come there's this gay pride parade in Warcraft? We don't have a street pride parade in Warcraft, because you get your straight pride parade every single day in Orgrimmar. So sit down, shut up, and let us have our moment. So it was a very awesome position to realize, like, oh crap, people like really are listening out there. There might not be a lot, but it is impacting someone's life, and that's huge and humbling.
Okay. Now, all you folks up here, you all have day jobs, right? You're not industry professionals like I am.
Rub it in.
The guy who's wearing the Pikachu mask is the professional here. So this is all an indie podcasting thing. You know, none of you are necessarily making a fortune off your podcast or even money at all.
Actually, we're losing quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's usually how it works, right? It's a labor of love, right?
It is.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the indie angle, since you know none of you are working with IGN or any of the big names. Like, how do you get out there? How do you get people involved in your podcast if you're just a dude who's podcasting, right?
I mean, we employ, so many different methods of getting out there. We do a blog, we use Facebook, Twitter. I made buttons for the convention. Which my boyfriend has a bunch in the back if you guys want some.
So did EA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Competing with EA. I mean, it's a really unique position to be in as far as coming from the indie angle, because you can do anything you want. You know, we're not answering to anybody, and we're also not, I mean, it's not so polished that it's like, I don't know, I find those shows so boring. You know, I'd rather hear like real people talking, coming up with their own issues, and I like the low budget aspect of like podcasting. That's what I initially approached podcasts, or what I liked about podcasting when I started listening to podcasts. So we just, you just have to be really creative with how you get your name out there. And it's definitely a slow process. You know, you can't expect anything overnight. Every time we get, a new listener, we all, high five, go crazy, and then they, unlike us and leave. Yeah. So what's your take on it, Jeremy?
Oh, man. I guess my take on it is just a piggyback off of something that Spike said earlier, actually, is that he got tired of listening to podcasts where it was just negativity, and that's kind of how I'm approaching it. It's hard to listen to a 3-hour show where all you're hearing about is, this game is awful, and here are 3 million reasons why. So being an indie show, we can talk basically, like he said, about anything that we want. So if we enjoyed something stupid, like I really like the font that this game has, we can spend a whole episode on that if we want.
We'll talk about it.
And yes, we will. Upcoming episode. You heard it here first. But yeah, that's the main thing I like about it, is that we can just keep the positive aspect of it going. You know, there's so much to like about this hobby, and why dwell as much as most people do on the negatives? So that's my take on that.
Very good.
Can you repeat the question?
No.
Please?
Cry for me. Okay. No, we were talking about indie podcasting. You're not a professional. And how do you clearly?
A man got a suit on.
Thank you.
If you know anything about game industry professionals, they don't wear suits. Don't wear suits. No, we were talking.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Right.
You know I love you.
We like your.
You know
suit.
I love you. No. How do you get? What was my question? Damn it.
Not my fault.
No. No. How do you get people involved in your podcast if you're an indie podcaster?
You know, I know there's a lot of discussion out there on the internet right now that it costs some $35,000 to do a podcast, even if you used to do it as a side job. I'm not going to get into the specifics. You know who I'm talking about. We recorded our first episode, and yes, it sounded awful, and we immediately got better equipment. But we recorded our first episode on a cell phone recording in memo mode, and then just put the file out there on, FilePut or something, because we just wanted to get our content out there. We wanted people to hear our voices, and then from there we took the next step of buying, a $15 mic and then upgrading to more expensive mics as we could save money and do that. It doesn't take much, To me, being an independent broadcaster means you do what you can with what you have, you put yourself out there, and you make the content that you want to hear so that people can share and interact with you, and you can build on that.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, trying to reach out to an audience, I mean, that's always difficult no matter what type of thing you're doing, whether it's a podcast or if you're in a band or whatever. But, I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to gather here today, not only to try and, you know, we're not trying to promote ourselves, but we want to encourage...
GameBuoy.org.
You know, we want to encourage people out there to, you know, be like, oh, hey, I can podcast too. I don't need $35,000 like Captain Spike was saying. And, I mean, one of the things that's kind of notable about all of us up here is that we're all gay men. And, I mean, there's a very diverse audience just in here, not to mention, like, in the entire convention. And so, you know, that means there's all these voices that aren't being represented. And it's just, it's so easy to, you know, if you have a phone, you can do it on memo mode.
It's not going to sound good, but I'll listen to it. Send me a link. I promise you, anyone in this room, I will listen to your show no matter how you record it.
I mean, the thing is, it's just really trying to be passionate about what you're talking about. And I think if you do that and people can really tell that you're you know, really passionate about it, that you enjoy gaming, I mean, you're not talking about how much the game sucks, people will be drawn to that. And, you know, that's why we want to hear more people, because kind of we've just had to kind of find each other. I mean, I've known Rob for a while, but the rest of these guys, we just kind of all found each other. And, you know, there really it kind of needs to be a bigger community for gay podcasters to get their voice out, queer, any type of queer-related podcasting. So,
Jason? So I really like being indie because I can say whatever the hell I want at any time. About anything, about, like, anything that we don't like, anything that we don't appreciate. You know, we can close out the show with an Aristocrats joke about the launch of the Xbox One. That can happen. And I won't have Microsoft trying to sue me about it. Hopefully.
So you've drawn their attention now.
But, you know, it's been an interesting challenge because we are our audio engineers. We don't have a staff of people to help us out with this. You know, we had to fumble and sort of figure out, like, well, how do we do this? I guess we just start speaking into a microphone and then edit the audio and then upload it. Well, then where do we upload it? Mm-hmm. To the internet. You know, I mean, like, so we had to answer all of these questions along the way and just sort of, you know, figure it out. And that's been as much fun as actually doing the show. Because we've seen it just kind of grow and get better over time. We got better equipment. I think the shows are better now. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I really, really like it. You know, because if you go to our site, you see a complete representation of the two of us. From the way the site looks, to the graphics, to the audio, everything. If we were on IGN, it would be IGN's site. It would be their studio. It would be their graphics. But for us, like, this is our representation.
I have a two-part answer to this. I think number one is talk about your show, talk about your show, talk about your show. Because if you're not talking about your show, then you must be embarrassed about it for some reason, which you might want to question why you're doing it in the first place if you're embarrassed about your show. So talk about your show. And I'm not saying you have to walk up to people going, hi, I'm Rob Roberts, fognetwork.com. But if you know, if people ask, you know, what you do, what are your hobbies, what are you into? Well, you know, I have this, like, geeky thing about, like, podcasts and, you know, video games. Don't do that. You know, be proud of what you're doing, because you never know who that other person might be. That might be somebody who wants to hear the show themselves, or better yet, I don't play video games, but I know, like, five other people that do. I'm going to tell them about your show. And that's one of the best ways to really grow your audience, I find. Don't expect to start a podcast and have 5,000 people listening the next day. That's not going to happen. You really have to work at it, and you have to be proud in what you do, even if it is two Dixie cups and a string recorded into, you know, you have to be proud of what it is. The quality and all of that will get better. My second part to this is, I know it's us on stage. Do we have other independent broadcasters in the room? Is anyone else producing content in here? Yay. You go, girl. What's your show? Yay. I couldn't hear. I'm sorry.
Geek Charisma.
Geek Charisma. And you raise your hands too, sir? The gaming hipster.
Hence the glasses.
No, I love it. So, like, we all should talk after the show, because network, network, network. If you're in indie broadcast, the worst thing I hate seeing in our world is when we're cutting each other down as indie broadcasters. We have nothing to gain and everything to lose from that. Look at all of us, like, here on stage. You know, I didn't necessarily know all these guys, you know, even a few weeks ago. But we kind of put the call out there, like, who knows other people that might be, you know, gay and into podcasting. And this has been great. I've been on their show and I've been on their show. I haven't been on yours
coming,
but someday,
coming,
someday. But I mean, like, and that's how we help each other out, because then, you know, they get my listeners, I get their listeners, and so on and so on. And we help each other grow. And it's amazing.
Yeah. I just want to jump on one of those points there. If you want to get involved in podcasting, you already have all the tools you need. If you've got a cell phone, you're good to go. I mean, that really is all you need. If CNN can have people on interviewed by Skype, you can use your phone to podcast. Like, it's the bar is pretty. The real media set the bar pretty low. So
don't lose yourself in the technical end of it. Have the passion. That's what you have to have. If you don't have that, you're not going to have a show.
So why don't we talk really briefly, what makes your show different from say a big podcast, like a IGN podcast or a larger podcast? Is there any kind of benefit to being a smaller guy, or I don't.
We say the word girl a lot.
Yeah.
we're able to get away with that.
Dick jokes,
specifically. But yeah, just kind of tying back to what we were talking about earlier, it's just being able to control your own content and control your own message and just say your opinion without any fear of, I don't want to say reprisal, but, you know, you can just say it without being, oh God, I've lost my train of thought. Phil, help me out here. Say something sassy. That was good enough. He gave me a look of death. So.
Next.
It's just not answering to anybody.
Yeah.
And just saying whatever the fuck you want to say. So we have that luxury.
Is that where we throw the mic down
yeah.
and just leave?
Slam.
We're done.
Rude.
Yeah.
You know, for our part on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. He makes me do that.
I will whip him. So, you know, the thing is, sometimes we just want to talk for 3.5 hours about rhythm games with Rob Roberts because he's been doing a Bimani show for 11 years. And if I was working for IGN, I kind of feel like that would be a problem. But no, I'm an independent show. I'm just going to do it. And so that's what I get out of being an independent broadcaster, is I just get to do a show on what I'm passionate about, what I really want to talk about, and hopefully what people want to hear. But if not, you know, I hope you come back next time.
Yeah. To kind of take a different perspective, you know, the people on IGN, Joystick, all these other sites, I mean, we've got Joystick representative here. You know, these people are all just as passionate about games as we are. But, you know, I think one of the things that we're in a unique position to do is just kind of like what they've been saying, control our content and, you know, not really have to answer to, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, on the bigger podcast, you know, oh, they might have someone from EA or whatever. And, you know, that's cool. That's where you can get that more mainstream content. And that's why we try to offer, like, you know, stuff that might not be covered, like who's talking about Nipponichi Software or Atlas or whatever. So, you know, I think that's kind of why we personally focus on
yourself.
Yeah.
Sure. So why don't you go ahead?
But no, it's true. So, I don't know. I mean, I enjoy just the ability to speak about any topic that I want. And, you know, it doesn't have to be complete current affairs. Like, that's why they have the other shows. That's why you go to, you know, any of, like, the big AAA sort of, you know, podcasts that are out there. You come to our show because you want to be entertained. We want to make you laugh. You know, I mean, that's kind of, like, our, you know, structure of our show. You know, we could dedicate an hour and a half to Majin and the Forsaken Kingdom because nobody played that game. And we thought it was special. And, you know, that's what I enjoy, because, like, you're not going to hear anyone talk about that on any of the other big shows.
I think the big shows, you know, they do their thing, and there's a lot, I don't want to shade the big shows, because there's a lot of very passionate people that do those shows, and, you know, they have their rules that they're confined to sometimes, but I think the big shows are like, sometimes you want to go to the big noisy club, you want to go be out, you want to be extroverted, you want to go around all those people and have that, and there's the rules that go with that, dress attire or whatever, but sometimes you just kind of want to go to your friend's house and play D&D, and that's like the community we built. And so I think we can answer to that when you want the small community. And yes, sometimes that is beneficial because it's ours and it's our rules that we made together. So I think that's what makes us different.
Yeah, I just want to... I've been involved in a couple of professional podcasts, and I just want to say that there really isn't a lot of a difference between an amateur podcast that just someone does on the side and something that, you know, professionals do. You know, I've done podcasts and gaming headsets, you know, just over, like, event server, you know, just any tools that you have to communicate with people while you're gaming, if you do any kind of MMORPG stuff, it works really well with podcasting too. I don't know if you guys here have anything else to say here, but I did want to open it up to the audience in case anyone has some questions. I'm going to embrace my inner Oprah.
Everyone gets a car.
Hey, look under your seats.
So, what sort of podcasts do you inspire you, or that you look up to, and you're like, I really like beyond people on this panel, because this is a segment of podcasting that I don't listen to, and I really want to, but also I'm interested in what you guys listen to.
I would look at the first run of the Retronauts podcast, Jeremy Parrish, over on OneUp.com.
Rest in peace.
Thank you. To me, you know, they sort of look at everything very critical. They look at sort of the origins of all of these individual, mostly older games, and they take a real sort of intelligent, intellectual look at games that I don't think really get that sort of critical attention anymore. So that's my recommendation. Anyone else?
I agree.
The Giant Bombcast. That's where we basically got the structure for our show. And, like, Ryan Davis's opening that he would do all the time about, like, introducing everyone, that is exactly what we styled our opener after. So, yeah.
I draw a lot of positive influence from non-gaming shows, actually. I mean, I do listen to a variety of gaming shows and MMO shows, but I'm also not afraid to kind of go listen to, like, other, you know, I've listened to individual journal shows and kind of gotten things about that, where it's literally the dude sitting on the mic talking about his life, but I'm like, captivated by it sometimes. Like, it's the ultimate in reality TV. I love it. So I honestly go onto iTunes and just subscribe to something random. You'll never know what you'll find, and just put in a search term, and, you know, I found a lot of really interesting stuff that way, like just not even gaming or whatever, because at the end of the day, there is more to our lives than gaming, whether we want to admit it or not, and I like to kind of draw influence from all of it to bring something fresh.
Yeah, I would.
I get a lot of inspiration from GameWee.org.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hate you so much. That's GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
That's such an easy-to-remember URL. And I'm going to bookmark it in my phone right now when we move on to the next question.
I would just like to, if I could just add to that, I also, like what Rob was saying, I listen to podcasts that are completely not gaming, but and it's such a wide variety. I listen to a zombie podcast. I listen to Gay Pimping with Johnny McGovern. Just things that are really most of them have humor, you know, involved with them in some way. But it's usually about some group of people doing something really specific and like just giving it their all. And that's like what I really love about, you know, listening to other shows.
Hi. So I had a pretty relevant question, but I kind of wanted to hold y'all's feet to the fire on this. Nintendo characters don't have sexuality or anything like that. Okay, so first of all, like for me, like I think it's not so much Nintendo overall, but I think it's Nintendo of America kind of whitewashing it through localization and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't get content over here like Captain Rainbow. That's why Birdo is no longer the boy that thinks he's a girl, but that is a girl now. So I think that, you know, I mean, just to phrase it in the form of a question, you know, what sort of things, like, do you feel like that's something that you can agree with? Do you feel like that's something that maybe, like, looking at it through our lens of, like, being North American gamers, like, when we call stuff out, that's whether it's sexism or whether it's something that's homophobic, you know, is it really that, or is it, you know, is there something there? Did I make a question? I need to eat. I need a drink.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree. I think that North American gaming culture in particular kind of has this focus on, you know, guns, explosions, and dudes blowing shit up. And, you know, I think that we definitely do see a lot of that within the larger gaming community over here. And where you don't have that so much in Japan, it's very different. Like, you know, you have a game like Chouaniki in Japan, which a Western studio probably would never put out. So, I mean, I do definitely think that. And of course, there's people like EA who are really trying to push for inclusivity and doing great things. But, you know, I do think that there is like a Western kind of mindset that, oh, you know, queer issues in games. And we're only starting to kind of chip the iceberg on that. So, yeah, I definitely agree.
I think in general, there's a lot of like crazy stuff overseas, and I'm not even limiting that to sexuality, because I remember on OLR, we found this game in Japan that was, what was the name of the game? It was Sukiban Senchao Rena Wii, and we just called it President Cat, because that's kind of what it translated to. And President Cat was amazing, and I'm sitting there going, why aren't they releasing this in the US? The Wii, like, everybody gives the Wii such a hard time. Oh, it's just a bunch of fitness games and occasionally a Zelda. But like, dude, if they would put out President Cat here, that would be amazing. Why won't Nintendo do it? Because sometimes these Japanese companies don't want to take risks. And I've seen it with the music games with Konami and so forth. So how do we show them the message? We've got to support it when they do take the risk. Don't copy that floppy.
You just showed your age again.
Yeah. Don't copy that hard drive.
So several of you have mentioned upgrading equipment a few times. How viable is Skype and two headsets to do a podcast for 3 or more years? Like, how, what's the minimum to put out, you know, fairly quality product? And also, pretending for a second that torrents don't exist, not everyone can afford the $600 to drop for, like, an Adobe Audition license. What are some examples of free audio editing software or syndication services? Like, I think Libsyn's one for people who want to get started. Like, what services got you
going? I have to say, first off, do not use Skype. Don't use Skype. Like, use Google Hangouts. You limit yourself to the amount of people that you could talk to. You could actually have conversations with, like, multiple people. You can have up to 10 people at one time. So use Google Hangouts. Like, Skype will only limit you to just, like, one person, unless you get premium and then, you know, that. But, like, we use just GarageBand.
I got to disagree with you, buddy, because we do four on Skype, and it's fine.
Wait, how did you do that?
I don't know. I swear we didn't steal it.
Wait,
no.
Are you a premium subscriber?
No.
What?
No.
We do the same thing.
So. And oh, we are also learning as part of this panel. We'll talk about it after the show. Google Hangouts is awesome, though. Like, yeah. You know, there is a lot of potential there, yeah. You know, and it's not just silly hats.
Right.
Like,
it's true.
You know, you can't, if you want to do a live show, Google yeah. Hangouts will let you do a live show. And you were just asking about syndication and how can you right. do that. Google Hangouts is free. It's all on YouTube. That's where a lot of people are at right now. So that is an amazing option.
Right. And then you could upload the YouTube video as well. So you can broadcast live. It's nice.
Yeah. But I think there is other, like, free. If you want to do it, like, the audio editing waves, isn't Cool Edit a free thing now? And older, older Audition. Okay, Audacity.
Audacity.
Yeah.
Audacity.
Like, there's a lot of open source stuff out there. And, yeah. You know, in terms of hosting, you know, you can pay for an expensive thing. We just, like, you know, upload it to my personal web space. So, you know, if you can just get your thing in iTunes, you know, just find ways to put it out there. You know, you can even, like, if you're hosting it somewhere, Tumblr, like, you can put it on Tumblr if you don't want to pay for hosting. I mean, there's just a lot of solutions out there that, you know, don't require $35,000.
Yeah. And you did mention Libsyn, Liberated Syndication. That's what we use. And you can upload a podcast on there for, like, $5 a month. It's very, very, very inexpensive. So that's what we use. And Skype isn't that awful, by the way.
I still don't like it.
Well, don't be. There's tons of other options. People have used Mumble. People have used Ventrilo. You know, there's tons of options.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to get creative and find what works.
I still see a hand or two. Can we get them in?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm gonna go back here first, and I'll come up to the front.
Oh, brilliant! All
right. First, I wanted to say I found out about Game Bar through Silly Frag. So the whole like networking.
Oh yay.
Yeah. And then this week I found about GameBuoy.org because of GameBar.
Oh yay.
So you know, it's kind of that kind of they tell two people and they tell two people and so on and so on. But as far as podcasting goes, you know, is it better to put out a regular podcast, or is it sometimes better to like sort of, because I had some friends and we like we tried doing it for a little while and we hit that point where we're like, we don't really talk about this week, and then it kind of grew, well, maybe next week, and then maybe a month later, and then it's like, oh, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, how you just, sometimes just bite the bullet and be like, all right, we're going to spin the magic wheel, find something to talk about, and put out a show.
We basically just go over what we're playing, and we play so many games, but also keep a schedule. You know, we always record at the same time every single week. You know, and then we agreed, like, during the summer, we go on, you know, like, every other week. That's the only way that we were able to sort of keep it together all this time. Otherwise, we would have just burned out.
We actually do things a little differently. I'll let you...
So what we did is we set a minimum, because we sort of had that exact same issue that you're discussing. And so I sort of sat down with Slykick, and I was like, what is the minimum amount of content we want to put out in any given month? And we decided that we wanted to make sure we had at least like 4 hours of content a month for our listeners. And if we go over that, then that's great.
Which
if
happens
we,
all the time.
If we decide to do an, you know, an extra 30-minute episode on, oh, my Ouya came in today and I really want to talk about it, then we'll do that and we'll just put it on our feed. And if our listeners want it, they can grab it. But I wouldn't want to go under a certain amount, because I always want our listeners to know that for sure they're getting at least X amount from us every month. So that's my view on it, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, once you kind of get things started, I mean, you really, first of all, to address the, like, frequency, you know, it kind of just really depends on your group of people, like, you know, personal schedules and how you're recording. We record in person. A lot of the other shows here are cross-country and such. But so, I mean, that's a factor in it. But as far as, you know, running out of stuff to talk about, you'll be surprised once you kind of get a structure set up that you're like, oh, there's so much you can talk about, and, you know, as long as you're passionate about it and it's fun for you, you know, just go and do it.
But, like, what you're saying, it does definitely takes a structure. Like, we have to really plan ahead, you know, lots of outlining, and once you get through that, it just sparks new ideas, and you're constantly mm-hmm. planning more and more things, so... And it spirals out of control. But it really helps to have that kind of structure, because if it's so informal that you're just meeting whenever, it's just going to, you know, it's not going to work.
Eat your podcasting fiber, because you have to be regular. It is the most important thing. It is the most, no, seriously, it is the most important thing, because you know, you may not have like an audience of 500, but if you have an audience of 12, as my shows have in the beginning, if you miss out a week, you're going to get that one email from that guy that's like, I listen to you guys every week at work, but you weren't there this week. I showed up and you weren't there. And suddenly, if you keep going on and on and on, they'll forgive you once in a while. But if you keep going on and on, then they're just going to find something else to fill the gap that they might like a little better. So being regular is super important. And ask these guys. I'm a military nut when it comes to – it takes an act of Congress or a convention full of hot gay nerds for me to cancel a show.
Hey. My own personal recommendation is to try to figure out how many episodes you think you can do, say, in a month. And then make a commitment to do about half of those. Like, make that your minimum. Because you're going to be a lot more, you're going to have so much more energy, so many more ideas when you first get started. And once time goes on, ideas can sometimes get harder to come by. You know, sometimes not. If you can keep up your, you know, one a week pace, that's cool. But if you get people used to once every other week instead, and just have that bonus content out there, I personally think that's the way to go.
Hi. I'm in a podcast with 6 other members, and 4 of us live in Sacramento. One of us lives in South California. Another one in Orlando, Florida, and the other one in New Orleans. And I was wondering what is the best way to record a podcast with like that many members, and like is it okay to do a podcast with just a few members every so often, and What is the best way to record that many members that spread out?
The best answer I can give you, because Koopa Club, we actually have six people on our show as well, but we try to cycle people in and out for technical reasons, but also just to kind of keep things going so that we're, you know, just not doing a 10-hour show so that everyone can say what they need to say. But we also are very similar. At least I think all of us except for Phil live in Chicago, Illinois, or around that area. So we use Skype, which, you know, to record. So I find that it's good to try to girl. It's good to get I find that it's best if you try to limit the show to maybe 3 to 4 people per episode. Sometimes it's okay doing 5, just so that you can, you know, try to keep the flow going, keep it a little bit snappy. That would be my best recommendation to you. Just switching people in and out, like let's say if you do 2 shows a month, say you've got, you know, group A on the first show, and then you can bring in group B on the next one. It keeps things fresh for people listening, too. They get different opinions. Yeah. So that's my advice.
First up, Sacramento. It's not that bad. I'm glad you're here.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's a dry heat. What I really want to say, though, with 6 people, it is a pain. Structure becomes very important when you have 6 people. What is it that you're going to talk about? And I'm not talking you have to be military and everything has to be scripted, but I would say you need one person to kind of be chief of the tribe each week and lead the conversation and draw out the opinions from the other people. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the same person every week, but that might change from week to week. Some people will like this role a little more than others. And I think having at least your, like, who's going to talk about what? What's the general outline? What is this show going to look like? Is going to go a long way to managing 6 people.
Yeah, with the WoW Insider podcast, which is really the only podcast that I've been on in somewhat semi-regular basis, we have a couple of regulars. It used to be Matt McCurley, Mike Sacco, and Matt Rossi. And every once in a while, Ann Stickney would show up, and we have other writers come in and talk on the podcast. So that way, if someone's not available, if you know, there's always someone else to come in there. So it's kind of like it's like an episode of Saturday Night Live, right? You have your A cast, and then you have your supporting cast, and you make shows of everybody. You put everybody together, you know? No? Sure.
We only have 2 people. I have.
Yeah.
Except that I love your cosplay. I'm a huge Sailor Moon fan, and I'm super, super just.
Hey. Yeah, you really have to find what's going to work for you, and you know that is another option to consider.
My question is kind of sort of related to what she was saying. So you guys, obviously, some of your podcasts have a lot of members. The first one would be, did you all start off with a podcast with that many members? Did you start off as 6, or did you add people to it? And how was the process of adding people to an existing podcast? Like, I guess the melding of personalities. I am thinking of doing one, but I don't have anybody to do it with. So how to, I guess, approach someone and how to, I guess, determine compatibility. Or even not even so much as compatibility as somebody that I could kind of work with, even if they don't share my same, I guess, belief set.
Well, you kind of do want people who are somewhat similar to, you know, how you approach things, how you approach, you know, setting schedules and, you know, showing up for the podcast, because that's hard for some people. myself. So you do want that similarity going on. And, you know, we added more people to our show after we started. I should point out Jonko and Renee, they're also on our show here as well. I forgot to mention them in the beginning. but you know, it's just a matter of, like, testing it out and, like, maybe meeting beforehand and not just necessarily jumping right into it and hit record on that first try with the new people. You don't want to, like, you know, have some finished product that you're not happy with. You want to just test it out and kind of get some rapport going and some, you know, chemistry.
Yeah, I think what worked for us is that we started out as a group of 4 people, and we didn't really know each other super well, so we kind of did just a few test runs where we weren't really trying to record an episode, but we just got together and just talked and recorded it just to see kind of okay, how are we going to interact? Is this going to kind of blossom into an actual friendship? You know, whatever. So I think that as long as you approach it with that mentality, you'll find the right people.
Yeah. We can't really speak to the larger cast issue because it's just the two of us, but I'm really glad that you brought up the compatibility because that's a huge part of it. And, you know, you just try and, you know, whatever gay, queer geek communities that you're a part of, just, like, you know, try talking to people and see, you know, oh, you know, there might be someone who's really into a certain genre that you like or, you know, who kind of has similar views to you and just kind of, like, you know, feel it out in those sorts of communities. And, you know, but finding the right person is really, like, kind of the key to keeping it going. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, we started with two, and we invited Todd Harper to be the third seat because whenever we would run out of guests, we were like, what's Todd doing? So eventually, you know, we just added him on because we wanted to talk to him. But also, be entirely certain when you want to add someone to a show because it's easier to not ask somebody than to ask somebody to leave. So, yeah, be certain.
Don't nix the idea of doing a podcast yourself if that's what you want to do. And maybe that's how you get in the foot and get your foot in the door, get a little practice under your belt. And maybe the show you end up, maybe your dream project doesn't end up being that show, but that's where you started because OLR was not my first show. You know, I did this college radio thing that was a hot mess of a show, but it taught me a lot. And I use some of that. So one of the segments I do on OLR very regularly, it's called Listless, it's a silly little game we play that started on my college radio show. So at least there's like one little element that did come with me from show to show. So you will learn something from show to show.
I think the basic building block of a good podcast is just a good conversation. And I think you can kind of get kind of a, just a feel of what kind of rapport you have with other people. And I actually think that this convention is a really good time if you want to get started with podcasting. This is a great place to just get started because you're meeting people, you're talking to people, you're going to find people that you're going to have stuff in common with and have a good conversation with. And all a podcast is recording that conversation, maybe doing a little bit of editing to take out all the stuff you don't want in there and just put it out in the world. And if you're enjoying the conversation, chances are other people will enjoy the conversation too. Mm. I love listening in on other people's conversations.
And a quick shout out to Gamer Connect. We've set up a LGBT video game podcasters group. If there's anyone who's got like further questions or, you know, just want a network or anything, please come to us. We want you in our community. So
you can find our email addresses at gamebuoy.org.
I'm talking about Gamer Connect.
If you have any further questions, by all means, I actually don't mean this as a plug, but you know, if I get one, that's cool. Just shoot us an email. I'm serious. If you have any questions or concerns beyond what we've covered here, please reach out to us. I would be interested in hearing what each and every one of you have to say about LGBT representation in games. And I really encourage you, if you have even a little bit of an interest like this gentleman, please add your voice to the chorus. We could really use it.
I think we're kind of running up almost out of time here. I think we're past. Whatever.
This podcast ran a little long.
I think last thing before we go, does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
We do.
Gamebuoy.org.
You already said that like five times.
I was going for 12. I said it.
And you can find us at koopaclub.com. That's Koopa with the Q, club with the K. And if you want a free button, come to the back.
And look for a game bar with a gay.
With a gay.
Three gays, actually.
Three gays, yeah.
VogNetwork.com, OrangeLoungeRadio.com, Hordehouse.com, but I really want to promote indie broadcasting. Support indie broadcasting because these are the people that do it because they love it. And even if you listen to all of our shows and you think we are all just a bunch of whiny babies, then you know what? There's probably another show out there that's for you. So don't be afraid to go out there and look and find the show for you.
Yeah, and I'm just going to repeat GamerConnect.com. I'm like, is it .com, .org? .com. You know, they're doing a great thing here. So, you know, thank you to everyone who's been involved in this. And thank you
all of you for spending your evening with us in this hot-ass room.
And you're probably hungry, but you're here anyway.
And thanks to Fox.
Oh,
Yeah.
Thank you.
@ Fox Van Allen, Twitter, awesome. Also, Wow Insider, Techlicious, it's on the internet, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.